Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Of course we are on Blind Level Tech. Hello, everybody, and thank you again for joining us for another episode. I am your host, Evan Starnes, and I am joined by my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, it's so good to see you, even though I can't see you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty darn good, honestly. We had our hike back a couple weeks ago, and I got to talk to people. We got to hang out a little bit, and I just about wore myself out that day. But man,
The most amazing things from the hike was Spencer Renfro. And yes. He had just lost his vision about 2 years ago, and a little over 2 years ago, due to being drunk and on drugs and driving 140 miles an hour, hit a rock, went head over heels in the car, rolling or flipping the car 8 times, and literally died twice and came back to life twice. And traumatic brain injury, and then lost all his vision. And the next thing you know, 2 years later, he completed the hike, hiked 5.5 miles with a sighted guide, used a cane. And I tell you, we were all so excited. He was the last to finish, but he was determined to overcome that challenge. And I tell you, it was so inspiring. It was one of those like, yeah, man, he did it. And so, yeah. So
we all applauded.
Yeah. I did 4 miles, and I hippopotamus body up there, and the oxygen was getting thin, and I was up and I'm popping. Sure wasn't blowing anything down, though.
I'm surprised I didn't feel like an old workhorse when I got back down. That was my watch tracked a little over 5 miles, but yeah, it was a good time. And you know, those who hiked with us, thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Stay tuned for a special Blind Chick episode where we'll go through all of the Evan on the Go interviews and just kind of talk about that whole hike. But we're not here to talk at all about hiking today. We're actually here to talk about a dude who has had a pretty successful podcast here for a couple of years, and he's got he's had his own vision loss journey. And actually, if you want to go hear that, there is an episode that will be coming out on The Blind Chick. But joining us today, we've got Marty Sobo, host of the On Mute podcast. Welcome to Blind Level Tech, Marty. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on the show.
Yep.
But before we get into the actual meat and potatoes of this interview, it is time for we're calling it our tech piece of the week right now, but it is time for our tech piece. So guests first. Marty, what is your tech piece of the week?
Well, I'm going off Calvin's tech piece from a couple few weeks ago. He was talking about a microphone. It was called the Audio-Technica ATR-2100X, which is a great microphone if you're getting into podcasting. But I wanted to suggest also the Sennheiser Profile. And the difference in the two microphones is This microphone is USB-C, so you can plug it into any computer or you can plug it into any device. As long as it has USB-C, you don't really need any software because everything is built right onto the microphone. It's got a capacitive mute button right on there. So if you want to mute yourself, you can. And capacitive means that you don't hear it when you hit it. You know, it just is silent. And then it also has a gain knob, a mix knob so that you can mix your sound, and then a master volume. So it's got everything you need right on there. It sounds great. It's easy to use. So if you're getting into, you know, voiceover work or podcasting and you're looking for something simple and mobile, that's what I would suggest.
That's awesome. How much is that usually?
You can find it on the average around $150-$160. And then they have different kits you can get. Some come with a desktop stand. Some come with a boom arm. There's a few different configurations of how you can get it. So on the average, it runs around $150-$160 to, you know, around $250, somewhere in there.
Well, that's really cool. And I think a great way to get into voiceover, especially from the Sennheiser brand. They're a pretty widely respected brand in the audio community.
Yeah, it sounds great, the microphone. I was really surprised, actually, at how awesome it sounds.
That's awesome. Well, Kelvin, what is your tech piece of the week?
So mine's not really a tech piece, but it's something that I've been using a lot lately with all of my travels. And as of the recording, I am in San Diego, but when this comes out, I'll probably be in Louisiana or Kentucky. So I'll be making my trips, but the reason why I'm presenting this tech piece is it's really cool is that this is a packing cube, and this helps you be able to, like, I carry only one bag and I can travel for 10 days and pack everything I need, all my recording stuff, everything I ever need into this one bag. And to be successful at doing that, I use packing cubes. And so the cube that I use is called the Gonex, it's like G-O-N-E-X, compression packing cubes. And the nice thing is there's the zipper that allows you to go inside the packing cube, and then there's the compressor part where it compresses the cube together, so that way it makes it even smaller and compresses everything together. And I tell you, it saved me room. And I can get a whole podcast recording system in there, my mixer, everything, and all like 10 days worth of clothes, shoes. Well, I don't wear shoes. I wear sandals. And everything I need. And it works amazing.
Just one bag. Yeah, I'm going to have to check this out. That sounds like a game changer for packing, especially because it's like one of the things that a lot of people do not care for when it comes to planning and going on trips and stuff. But
it's huge. Awesome. So what's your tech piece, man?
Well, my tech piece is a small one, and it's actually something that I'd wanted to just make people aware of. If you're in the blind community and you follow a lot of, you know, tech resources and things, you have probably already heard of this, but there was a forum that has been around for many a year called AppleViz. And unfortunately, the founder and the guy that really pretty much ran the show from the start and maintained everything, he had to retire. You know, it was getting a little too much, and you know, it'd been going on for years. But unfortunately, the AppleViz forum, where you could go and learn about anything from using your first iPhone to the best gadgets for your Apple products, it was an Apple user, a blind Apple user's paradise. And it's definitely going to take, a good deal of work to kind of pass the baton along to somebody else. But there are some new, some new successors coming around. iAccessibility.net is one that's coming out. I haven't actually really checked it out too much, but really good, following the guy on Mastodon. But just wanted to make people aware. That's kind of a resource that we had to say goodbye to a couple weeks ago. Speaking of Apple, actually, Marty, you have a really interesting technological journey here from even, you know, before losing your vision up to now. So when you were in high school and college, you did a little bit of AV work, right?
Yeah. it sort of started with music industry stuff, and that's kind of where it led me for a while. We always kind of had tech, you know, around my house. And so, and then there was always music. And a lot of the people that I knew, friends I hung out with, everyone was music, you know, everyone was into music and played music.
Oh, that's fun.
And so, like, growing up, I played the drums, and, you know, but I had a lot of other hobbies as well. So it was kind of one of those where it was like I had fun playing the drums and I liked it, but I also had a ton of other things that, you know, I was interested in doing. So, you know, a lot of my other friends, they really like stuck with the music thing. And so I ended up kind of going and taking the tech, you know, the music and all of that, and kind of going more on the business side of things and doing more video production and photography, and then like managing bands and booking bands and promotions and all that kind of stuff. So that's really kind of the journey that ended up leading me down.
That's really cool. And I think when music and tech coincide with each other, which they really do nowadays, it's, you know, you can really get in the weeds with it. And so it's kind of a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, as time kind of has progressed, it makes it a lot more accessible now for people who are into music, whether you're a singer-songwriter or whether you're in a band, to get your stuff out there. Because, you know, with all of the digital media that, you know, like Spotify and Apple Music and all these other platforms, it makes it much easier for you to really get your music out to the world, where kind of the old school way was you got to have a major label and you have to, you know, do all this crazy stuff in order to really get past your local kind of area you live in, per se. You know what I'm saying? Because you can only sell a CD or a tape so far or something like that, you know what I mean, at your shows, or if you can get it on a website and people will come to it to buy it. But now with all this technology of, you know, it's like Spotify Music and all that, it's really easy to get your music out there to the world, you know.
Absolutely. And then from that, you'd gone to Apple, actually working and doing like diagnostics on devices.
Yeah, so like in the beginning, well, so we've always had Apple stuff around the house and growing up and all of that. And so I was one of those where, you know, everyone in my family and my friends always called on me to be like, oh, I'm having a problem, or oh, I need a new thing, or what should I do? You know, and that's kind of how it started for me. Even when I was kind of doing the music industry thing at the same time, you know, I worked, you know, doing Apple stuff, you know, and it got into, led me down the path of, you know, diagnostic and repairs and things like that. And I originally ended up getting a job with like a little mom and pop shop. There was this guy that my family knew, and he had like a little mom and pop shop, and he would repair people's, you know, Apple stuff, you know. And so he, you know, took me in and showed me how to kind of like do basic diagnostics and all of that kind of stuff, you know, hard drives and.
Oh, cool.
And I got to do that. And that sort of led me down that whole path going that direction, kind of stuck with me. So
cool.
So what do you think about the current Apple products now with the new chip and everything? And like, you think it's a better computer than it ever has been? Or what are your thoughts?
Well, it's kind of two-sided. So I will say that the new computers that are out right now, they're amazing. They're so fast and they do so much for such a less price. I mean, you know, they talk about, for example, the current technology now are these M1 processors.
Well, we got Apple Silicon.
Yeah, Apple Silicon, and they have all these M processors. So if you go to like the first generation of those that came out, that just the M1 was the first one, it blows the doors off pretty much anything right now. Even currently, if you were to go get an M1 computer, it's going to be so much more power for the average person than any other really computer out there. They just,
they'll know
they
what
harness
to do
so much power.
Yeah.
And the only other time you've really seen this is that if you go back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, when Apple again made this change from, you know, these, they had like PowerPC processors, what they were called, and they switched to Intel. And that was like the jump at that time, which is how you can kind of compare from going to Intel to this M1. Mm-hmm. Now, the good and bad part about it is right now, coming from like a consumer point of view, there's ups and downs. Like, it's great. You buy the computer you want. It's going to do everything you need. It's going to be super fast, but that's it. You're stuck with that. There's no changing it. If it breaks, you're pretty much sending it back to Apple and they have to tear the whole thing apart or they have to replace the whole computer. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the Intel PowerPC days, say like you buy a computer and a year down the road, I don't have enough hard drive space. I want to, up my hard drive. You know, you could actually take the hard drive out of the computer and put in a new one. You know, you could actually add more RAM to it if you want to. I mean, there were things you could do depending on whether you had a laptop or whether you had a desktop. But in either situation, you know, you could, you know, take the parts out and add, you know, either new parts, let's say your hard drive broke, you could stick a new hard drive in there. Or let's say your computer, you need more hard drive space for what you're doing, you can add a bigger hard drive or add more RAM. I think that that's important. I think that people like being able to fix their own computers, you know, not have to buy a new one or, you know, have like a major catastrophic failure and there's nothing you really can do except send it into Apple at this point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it really depends. People have different points of view on it. There's this whole thing out there where it's like repair, you know, the right to repair, you know. People really, really feel like if you buy something, you should be able to repair it on your own. And that goes down a whole rabbit hole. But they've kind of left that whole idea behind now, and they sort of made it where that doesn't really exist anymore. The hard drives now, the RAM now, all that stuff's all built onto the logic board. You can't change it, which means like you have to really know what you need when you buy a computer, because once you buy it, that's it. You can't do any upgrades to it or change anything.
Absolutely.
What is interesting is the Right to Repair Act just had some really interesting thing go through the courts, and I have a feeling we're going to start seeing some more newer models be a lot more easy to repair. It got pretty nasty in the courts, because the last time I looked at that, it will be really interesting. I mean, to repair as a blind person, I mean, I've built a few computers in my lifetime, but I just rather just get a new computer and get it
fixed the way you know that'll work. Well, I think honestly, because this whole thing is a huge, awesome rabbit hole. Maybe we should. I think we should just do a whole episode on the whole concept of building and repairing tech gadgets. But Marty, when you'd lost your vision though, what was it like adapting to vision loss with your technology? Like, how did you go about, you know, learning voiceover, and, you know, how did you get started in that?
Well, so first of all, yes, it was very, very different. I'll come back to that in a second. But how I got started actually was when I originally lost my vision. One of the very first things that I had to do the journey on was mobility. That was one of the very first things I did before anything. Now, I had a person who became a very, very good friend of mine. He was a mentor in a lot of men in a lot of different ways. And his whole thing was he was an older guy and he was very old school. And what I mean by that is I didn't use any technology whatsoever for a long time when I did mobility training. He basically said, you need to really learn how to do mobility. If you really want to be successful, you need to learn what the difference in the kings are, how they work, what they do. You need to learn how to have haptic, you know, feedback and be able to hear the tones of your cane and what kind of information it gives you. You need to be able to, you know how to hear the flow of traffic and, you know, like do curbs, all the things, right? And the reason why he was really hounding that into me was because he says, what happens if you rely on your technology and the internet fails and it doesn't connect, or, you know, something happens in an area where you don't have any reception, or your battery dies, or all these things? How are you going to get yourself out of the situation if you don't have the technology or your technology fails? Mm-hmm. So I really kind of went back to the old school in my training and spent a long time, you know, crashing and burning, but also being successful. But there was no technology for a long time. He also was very involved in ACB, and he sort of introduced me to ACB at that time. And so I went to my first ACB meeting with him, which was a group that was local to the area where I lived somewhat. And that was my first introduction into ACB, was going to, you know, like a chapter meeting, basically.
Right. Absolutely.
And the people there, I met them, because the next journey and kind of his purpose for that was, hey, you know, you don't necessarily need to join ACB, but there's going to be a lot of people who are low vision and blind in this place that we're going. And besides doing mobility, the next thing you need to do is learn how to, you know, network and socialize within the blind community. So that was the purpose originally. But when I went there, I met a lot of people. And of course, you know, technology was something that I was able to talk about, and I started helping people with this, that, and the other thing. And that's kind of how my journey started with that. I was able to figure stuff out really quickly because I didn't need to learn how to use like an iPhone, for example. I already knew how to use an iPhone. I just needed to learn how to use it with VoiceOver. So, you know, for me, it didn't take nearly as long as someone who has lost their vision, who's not techie, who now all of a sudden someone's handing them a phone and saying, okay, here you go. This is how you communicate with the world now. And the person's like, well, what is this? I don't know how to work a piece of glass. How do I don't know anything about technology. So that's a hard thing for someone who is just lost their vision, who is not techie, who now all of a sudden has to be techie because this is how you communicate. And it's all foreign. It's too... It's a lot in the beginning for a lot of people, you know? Now, the thing that was really, really hard for me to adjust was I'm used to being a visual person. So in all the work I've ever done, I've always had two displays. I already had 10 windows open. I'm navigating 10 different things at the same time over here and over there. And you can kind of multitask like crazy, you know, as a sighted person with two giant monitors and all this stuff in front of you, music in the background and all of that, you know, that's kind of how my office was. I'd have two giant screens. I'd have, you know, 50 things open. I could bounce around really fast. I could have music in the background, be talking on the phone, talking to someone else. I realized that all of a sudden that is impossible. You cannot do that. You can only do, for the most part, one or two things at a time, because you can only go as fast as VoiceOver, as fast as you can take in VoiceOver, which is definitely very different.
Yeah, and you're listening to VoiceOver. Plus, if you want to have like background music and stuff, it's a little harder to just, you can't just have music going. You kind of have to mix it so you can hear and focus on exactly what your machine is saying too.
Exactly. You're basically relying on your hearing to do all the things. It's kind of taking all of your sensory and cutting it in half, basically, you know? It's a kind of an interesting thing to go through, to be honest with you, because you feel like so unproductive in the beginning.
Yeah, it's like when you're listening to like I used to listen to football games, and I would have like 10 different football games, and I would have them all at different volume levels, so that way I can take in all the information all at once and keep track of all the football games all at once. And but I had screens, so I could still look at it. I'm like, oh yeah, this works. But it did help me, and I don't know if people know this, but if you change your volumes to your different, like, web, so if you change the volume for your screen reader on one screen reader or on one browser, and then another browser has a different volume or a different voice, or and then you can get those all to mix.
Yeah, you can. Especially, I've done this on Windows. Yeah, you can really adjust, like if you have a radio station on the background. It's a nifty feature. But talking of radio too, ACB does have a whole like radio station with a whole bunch of different little channels. But they had something called ACB Community that you were on. What was that like, getting, you know, kind of first involved, and how did that kind of lead to the creation of the Unmute company and podcast?
So this kind of interesting story, actually. So I used to do similar work for other companies, right? And each place that we did some stuff from was independent, right? So they would have like a independent sort of classes. And, you know, you would talk to the people that are your constituents and they would come depending on the topic, whether it's a support group or whether it's technology, whatever it is, right? And participate in the meeting or the class that was being offered. Then, of course, 2020 hit and the world all exploded at that time. And, you know, there was someone who came up with a really good idea because everyone is isolated. Like people who are low vision or blind, a lot of times they're isolated. And the problem was getting people out and about. But when 2020 came around and the whole world changed, now all of a sudden everyone's coming up with a way to, you know, communicate from home. So ACB, which is called American Council Blind, came up with this idea at that time to do what's called ACB Community. And that's where they offer different, you know, topics, you know, that people can attend, like technology, or there's crafting, or there's maybe, you know, support group. There's all these things. Now, we're going on 5 years later, it is massive. Like it is got every kind of topic all throughout the day. Basically what you do is you sign up for their email and then you get an email every morning. And there's all these things, you know, all these different classes or groups that are going on all day long, everything you can imagine, 7 days a week. It's crazy how big it's gotten. But in the beginning, we started a tech thing. We were doing something for other companies, and there was a situation that came up where my business partner and I were talking about going independent. We kind of bounced the ball around a little bit back and forth, but there was no urgency really. It was just something that we had thought about. Hey, one day we can go independent, you know? And then there was a situation that came up where we really had to make a choice on the spot about going independent. And we literally, on a phone call, had to go, we have to make this decision right now. It's either yes or no. Do we do it? Do we not do it? We have to either decide, you know, because of other things that were going on, forced us into having to make this decision. So both of us just went, let's just go independent. Let's just do it. Let's just dive in 2 feet and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. So the way we started that was going independent and doing ACB community tech. So our class or call or show, whatever you want to call it, what we do is every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. West Coast time, we go live and people come and they ask us any tech question they would have and we try and answer their tech questions. That could be Windows, JAWS, Apple, VoiceOver, iPhone, anything, you know, and it really took off. And so during that journey, it kind of grew pretty quick, you know? I mean, in the beginning, we had to figure out what time slot was going to be a popular one. We did have some trial and error in the beginning, but once we kind of got in a groove, it just sort of took off on its own from there, and it kind of got a life of its own. And we did it every week, and it grew every week. And then what happened was people were like, well, we can't go at that time, or what if we have an appointment, or what if something else comes up? You know, we miss your show. Is there any way to get it later? And we kind of had a conversation. We decided, hey, let's do the show. Well, and then after, we will put it out as a podcast. We'll edit it down, and we'll put it out as a podcast. So that's how that all started. And it kind of became a hit. And one day I was sitting around with my business partner and we were kind of like talking about, you know, how we kind of brand this a little bit more, you know? And the big joke at the time, kind of behind the scenes, was if you go into any Zoom call, people are always saying, you got to unmute yourself. We can't hear you. Unmute yourself. Unmute yourself, you know? And I was kind of making fun of it, making a joke, but as I was doing that, I had this epiphany and I went, wait a second, we can do something with that. We can actually call ourselves Unmute and the tagline can be heard, because unmute yourself and don't be fearful to ask your tech question. And we make people feel comfortable by saying, there's no stupid question. If you feel that you have a question and it's important, then ask the question. Don't feel like you can't ask your question, no matter how major or silly you think it may be. Mm-hmm. So we kind of turned it into Unmute, Be Heard is the tagline, as in don't be scared to ask, advocate for yourself, you know, don't be silent, you know, make your voice heard. And that's kind of the direction we went with it. And it kind of took off, actually.
That's awesome.
And then after that, we just started going down the rabbit hole, and you know, we tested different things and we tried doing different shows. At this point, we're putting out content almost every day, to be honest with you.
Wow. That's awesome. Incredible.
So question for you. What are you using to live stream?
So when we do the live stream, the only time we live stream is when we do our call on ACB community. And what they do is they take care of that backbone on their end. Okay. So for example, you can either come to the meeting live, and we do that through Zoom. If you cannot attend the meeting because you're either somewhere where you can't get on a computer, or maybe you're not comfortable being on Zoom, or maybe you just want to listen, then there is a way to listen on your A-Lady, which is an Amazon smart speaker. You can just say, you know, if you know what time we're on, then you could say, play ACB Media, and then it will talk back to you and say, okay, what number, what channel would you want to listen to? And then you say 5, and then it will just put us on live at the top of the hour. So you can listen to it anywhere. You can go also to any podcatcher or our website and get the show, you know, in post after we edit it down and put it out as a podcast. So there's multiple ways to be able to get, you know, our show, you know.
That's awesome. And ACB had like they had a call-in number for a while too, where you could just call, and it's powered by Audio Now, and you could listen to their live stream even on like a telephone if you didn't have internet. But real quick, before we jump into kind of the techie, the part that where Calvin and I geek out, what was the most overwhelmingly common question that people had when coming to you for tech assistance?
I would say the most popular, or overwhelming is kind of a hard thing to say, because a lot of the people that we get a whole variety of different people, so every level. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the overwhelming comes from what I was saying earlier, where someone who is sort of experiencing new to vision loss, and they're either losing or lost their vision. And a lot of times people aren't techie at all. No, so now all of a sudden they have to go from not being a techie person, and where they don't really care about it, to depend on it in order to be able to do simple things, like, for example, making a phone call, right? Or maybe text messaging, or maybe scanning a document, whether that's using a software that scans a document with OCR technology, or maybe that sort of reads a short piece of text like a piece of mail or something like that, or maybe reads text on a box of food or something like that. It really becomes a huge thing, you know, or of maybe course. Learning how to use Ira or Be My Eyes, or the rabbit hole goes on and on, because if you're not into technology really, and you have to deal with the emotional part of it, which is losing or have lost your vision, but then also learn how to use something that you have no knowledge on, it's a lot to take in. So absolutely. People feel like they're going to break their device if they touch it wrong, or there's any number of things.
You know? Of course. It's like, it's the fear of the unknown. And I perhaps overwhelming wasn't like the best term to use, I guess, but what do you usually, what's the first thing that pretty much like 99.9% of people ask though, or need to learn?
I would say probably like how to use text to speech would be the very first thing. They get an iPhone and then they, you know, don't know how to use VoiceOver, or it seems like it's hard for them to do. They don't understand the gestures, really it comes from the tech industry as a whole making it overly difficult for people, average person, average consumer, to be able to understand the technology. And so the reason why I say that is because if you ask someone who is a beginner, they don't understand the difference in a smart assistant and VoiceOver. They think it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. They think like Google. They think, which the internet, when I say Google, I say like looking up something or finding information, researching something, right? They think that Google, smart assistant and voiceover are all the same thing. And you have to unwind that and go from the beginning and explain to them what the difference in the three things are. And it's hard for them to grasp because they just think that it's all the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that was one of the things when I was an AT instructor back in the day. It just getting people to understand the concept. It's like, once you get the concept, then you're ready to go. And I mean, I find that a lot of times, like one of the main things what I did with the Simi cane is I dumbed it down so much that it's like, all right, if you just pick it up, you can figure it out just by pressing buttons.
You use it just literally after picking it up.
So I think that's one thing that, I mean, I know as an inventor, like, it's always trying to figure out how to dumb it down and allow people to be successful. But at the same time, how do you make it so that way it's still powerful? And so
I think like with the younger generation, it's easier because they kind of come into the world already using, I mean, the technology, they're already playing with it. They're already doing it. It's already in their hand almost, you know, where the older generation, that it wasn't the case. You know?
Yeah. And you'd even said that, like, you know, in your pre-show, like, you know, there are people like myself that grew up with VHS tapes and CDs and DVDs. And then there are people, you know, that they grew up with an iPad in their lap from a young age, and I'm not going down that rabbit hole. I have my opinion, but you know, it's kind of just a concept of generation. You know, it's generations, different generations. You know, because I mean, there are people long before us that didn't have automobiles and all that. But either way, and I think too, one quick thing is, I think the term we're looking for, dumbing it down, is technically correct, but I think what we're the term we should use is, you know, we're just making things more intuitive. I think intuition, well,
or simpler, maybe
simpler,
like, so that someone can understand easily what the things are, not such confusion, you know.
Absolutely.
Like the terminology could be simplified.
It really could. I think I do agree with you there, as far as I think the tech industry loves to, especially because this stuff is still, if you think about it, the smartphone and the smartwatch and a lot of what we consider quote unquote smart, it's new. And a lot of tech companies do like to kind of come up with, you know, their own terms for stuff that's already been out. And they love to be kind of, you know, a little bit gimmicky and, you know,
it's also very hard to make somebody interested in something that they could care less about. Like, if you're not into technology and all of a sudden now you have to use it or have to understand it when you could care less, you know, if someone before they went their whole life not being interested in technology and didn't really care about it, you know, mm-hmm. they didn't care about a smartphone, they weren't into computers, they did what they wanted in the world, and they weren't affected by not being a not needing to use technology. And now all of a sudden it's forced on you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But there's one thing that isn't going to be forced on anybody, and that is actually the
sandwich of the week.
So I'm actually going to go first for the first time in forever. I don't know. Just kidding. But my sandwich of the week actually, well, okay, let's be honest. So I was at Jonathan's 40th birthday party a couple weeks ago.
You're taking his sandwich that he had last week? I don't know, man.
Oh, no, this is a sandwich I had, though. Maybe it was his sandwich last week. I don't remember now.
Did you steal his sandwich from him on his birthday? I can't believe you.
Probably did. And it was a really good one. But I actually his ma had actually thrown together all of this really, really, really good food. And I you know, he's like, hey, what do you want for a sandwich? And I'm like, whatever has a ton of meat. And it was a pulled pork sandwich with as much pulled pork as could fit on a bun, with a little bit of sauce, just enough to add some flavor, not enough to turn it into a big old soggy mess. But fantastic sandwich. Honestly, just fantastic food and a fantastic party. But Yeah.
You truly stole his challenge from last week.
I did, but I think the one I had was probably better than the one that he was talking about. I don't know. But
on his birthday, no less.
Yeah. Sorry, dude. Not sorry. But Kelvin, what is your sandwich of the week this week?
Yeah, so I was at my friend's house, and his mom made an amazing sandwich for after church Sunday. You know, when you get out of church and there's always like a Sunday meal that you normally have.
You're always hungry afterwards. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I never quite understood that, but so I had it was Hawaiian rolls with pepperoni, ham, and turkey with cheese, and then on a Hawaiian roll, and it was sprinkled, and then it was chipotle mayo, and it had pepper and something else buttered on top of the roll, and you put it in the oven. And wow, It was amazing.
That's awesome.
I was like, this is so good. Mm-hmm. So I haven't figured out a name for it. So we'll call it the Sharker.
The Sharker.
The Sharker.
Sounds like a shocker. The Sharker. that's a good one.
You get an extra kick when you take the first bite.
Exactly.
Extra kick and an extra zap, and you're like numb for like a minute afterwards. Yeah. Marty, what's your sandwich of the week?
Well, I was at a friend's house, and they made homemade meatball sub sandwiches. Now, here's the thing. The bread was fresh, hoagie, like a sub sandwich type, big fat bread, and it was actually toasted. And then they put the meatballs in with the sauce and fresh mozzarella cheese, and it was fantastic.
Oh, that sounds...
That's really cool.
That sounds delicious.
It was great.
I'm craving a meatball sub now, for sure.
Yeah.
I guess you're going to be walking down the street, aren't you?
We know what you're having for lunch today.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Marty, thank you absolutely so much for joining us today on Blind Level Tech. It was a good time, as always. So,
yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. It's been an honor, and I've had a great time being here.
Absolutely. Now, where can people find you? Where can people find the Unmute podcast?
So you can go to our website, which is unmute.show. You can also go to any podcatcher, and you could put in Unmute Presents and find all our podcasts there. And then if you have any questions, comments, or want to reach out to us, you can email us at feedback@unmute.show.
Nice. Perfect. And of course, on our end, if you have any feedback for Blind Level Tech or for any of our other shows / any of the hosts on those shows, you can always send an email to feedback@aftersight.org or call 720-712-8856. And Kelvin, is there anything you'd like to wrap up with before we end this episode?
I think my encouragement for all of you today is to think about, if you're in a situation, you're having to wait. Sometimes waiting is a blessing. Because in the long term, if you wait and be patient, you'll be completely blessed 10 times over if you try to, by being patient and wait.
Better pay off.
Rather than rush it. So yes. That's my advice for today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all so much for joining us again for another episode of Blind Level Tech. Be sure to catch us at the Shine Music Fest coming up on August 24th, I believe. Gosh, I need to have a calendar in front of me when I record these episodes. But yeah, we'll be there doing a fun Blind Chick live show, and I'll be kind of hovering around interviewing people on the spot. And it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of good music, and if you're looking to mingle with folks and just connect and, you know, make, you know, start some new friendships, this is a prime opportunity to do that. In any event, thank you so much for listening to Blind Level Tech. I'm your host, Evan Starnes, and this is my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your challenges and plug in your device.